W-O-L-D.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I am Peggy Ballester-Howells, and Jordan's not with us today. She's having a grand time somewhere in Italy. She will be back not next week, not the week after that, but after that. And she will return, and I'm hoping she has some very good stories. Now, you said that you were looking at things budding out. So,
looking at trees primarily.
Yes.
And we went through, you know, purslane and some of the other stuff in the yard that I consider, we started the show off with. Pokeweed.
Poke Salad Annie. Yeah, good song.
Yeah, with a southern accent to it.
So, can I tell a story? Is there anything?
Do I have a choice?
Well, not really. It's my show.
Yes.
So,
buckle up, everybody. Here it comes.
There is a tree that I have been searching for 3 years. And I had one at the farm, but it was right next to the house. And it burned, and it was the only one that I had ever really seen. And I got it from Mel, the first Mel, not Mel Madden, who I love now, but Mel Moss from Livingston Park Nursery. Unbelievably knowledgeable, kind, wonderful human being. And he always had cool stuff. And I got this small tree from him. It is called a weeping Siberian pea shrub. And the botanical name is...
You know, you lose me when you do the botanical thing. It's hard enough. Say the real name, the one that I can understand. Siberian
pea shrub. Okay. But the botanical name is a little bit important because there's two different varieties. There's one called Pendula, which means pendulous weeping, sort of. But then there's another variety called Walker Eye. And that one's butt ugly. It's just...
There's a hint. Don't get that one.
It's the leaves are super, super indented. It looks tattered to me. It doesn't. The pendulum one has pea-like leaves because it's in the pea family. And it has very rounded leaves that I think are very pretty. But the Walker Eye has very indented, stringy-like leaves. And I think it looks tattered. I don't think it has the robustness of the pendulum variety. So it's very important to make that distinction to get the one that I want. So I had the one I wanted.
So it sounds like it's not native.
No, it's not native, but it is so interesting. And actually there's an upright species, there's an upright variety, that's like the original one, and that's considered invasive, but the weeping ones are not at all. So, and you can actually eat the pods. And if you save the pods and you don't eat them and you collect them when they're dry, you can use them as chicken feet. So they're kind of interesting. But what I love about them is they stay small. They weep. So the branches are very interesting in the winter. So it has winter interest. It maxes out at about 8 feet by 6 feet, maxes and grows very slowly. So it's great for condos, townhouses,
small spaces
down the shore. Perfect for a tiny farm.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But you can't just roll up to any nursery and find it.
No, but this is really bothering me. It's really beginning to upset me. It has the beautiful winter structure. It has fantastically bright yellow flowers in the spring. It has the interesting foliage all summer, except for the Walker Eye, which, like I said, that one's ugly.
But ugly.
And then it turns golden yellow in the fall. And it has the seed pods. So it has something for all seasons and works great in small spaces.
Okay, wait a second.
Yes.
I'm slow.
Okay.
So weeping Siberian pea shrub.
Yes. Usually I've seen it as one word, pea shrub.
Okay.
Okay.
But don't get the Walker Eye one.
No, really.
It sounds really cool.
It is really cool.
I'm trying to do some interesting things around my farm. And
this is a fabulous plant. So here's the thing that...
Get to.
So it's hardy to zone 2.
Mm.
it, I guess, because it was found in Siberia, weeping Siberian peach shrub. You know, the original upright one was found in Siberia. So, yes, very cold hardy. So I have searched and searched and searched and been unable. I've called many nurseries. I've visited. Most people don't even know what I'm talking about. They look at me kind of like how you are looking at me. And I show them pictures. I explain it's hardy around here. It's slow growing. It has all these. It has little to no disease or insect problems. It's like a perfect little tree. It's a great little tree. But if you go online, you can find it in a dozen places in Canada, but they don't ship. They won't ship to the States. You can find it in England. It's listed in England in at least half a dozen places online. It's listed all over Europe. It's listed in one of those Middle Eastern countries with the weird alphabet that you have no idea what it's saying in the listing, but you see the picture and they have the botanical name.
You can get it. You can get it in Saudi Arabia, but you can't get it in
New Jersey.
In New Jersey,
they have it in Russia, obviously, well, because it's Siberia, but you can't get it in New Jersey.
So how are you getting it?
Well, that's the problem. There is this one place. Most people, you know, just look at me weird or sound weird on the phone because they have no idea what I'm talking about. And lots of people, lots of the local places I've gone to, when I show them and they look, wow, that looks really interesting. That looks, but no luck. But there's a place, Bountiful Gardens, Bountiful Acres, Bountiful something in Ewing. And
Ewing?
They that's a big place. And they have Walker Eye.
They got the wrong one.
They got the wrong one. But they said that they would talk to their supplier because they got the Walker Eye, so maybe the supplier will have the Pendula also. But isn't that bizarre? So I told Jordan to look for one in Italy for me because there may be one over there.
But put it in the overhead compartment on the way
home. Isn't that bizarre? I mean, I've found it all around the world. It's super hardy. You can't say anything bad about it. And
well, you said that seed pods you can feed. So they make seed. Can you get them to ship the seed if nothing else?
I could possibly, but I believe most of them are grafted. The weeping part. Because a lot of things that are weeping, if grown from seed, they may hold true coming from seed, but they're going to run along the ground like ground cover.
Gotcha.
Like a weeping Norway spruce.
Yeah.
A lot of them will grow along the ground. You know, there are varieties that, the weeping pussy willows, a lot of weeping things end up being grafted.
So the seed's not going to do it.
The seed's not going to do it for me. Right. And I don't have, it would be years and years and years before it amounted to anything if I grew it from seed and then got to get a certain size and then you had to graft it. It would take
Canada, 15, road trip.
Yeah, I guess. But that's, isn't that unfortunate? Okay, so do we have Jack on the line? Jack, are you with us?
I'm setting up the road trip to Saudi Arabia.
But have you ever heard of this?
No, I have not.
See, it's really a little bizarre that it's people. I mean, I did not think when I bought the first one that it was something that was rare because I just walked into Mel's and I was like, oh, that's cool, I'll take it, and never thought about it. But it's the only one. It's the only one I've ever seen. So,
well, there's a market then.
There is a market. There is definitely a market. It's a cool tree. So what's up with you, Jack?
Right, why don't you bring those in and start selling those now?
No, thank you.
It is, just for a weather update in Middlebush, it's pouring.
Oh, is it?
The day is ruined, washed out.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Well, it kind of works good for me. I was told I can't dig for a couple of days, so I couldn't dig anyway.
After 12:30.
Yes.
And we're not going to do the work out in the yard, so we'll find something to do in the shop to prepare for good weather.
Yeah, I have a bunch of tomato seedlings that need to be transplanted. They're in the little tiny cells. So I could work on that in the greenhouse. But there's just, the weeds are growing like crazy with this rain. And it's too yucky to go out there and try to work on the garden beds. But everything's growing.
Oh, yes, the grass, the grass is out of control. We're cutting here at the farm on a 4-day cycle, and we have 12 acres to mow, so it's continuous.
But Jack everybody in Radioland, Jack just replaced a lot of the trees that he lost last summer. Jack grows Christmas trees, and a lot of his baby trees all turned into crispy critters. And you replace them this spring, but this weather should be doing great things for them, right, Jack?
It is perfect for the seedlings. You are absolutely correct, my friend. Now we need some dry weather. not complaining. If we could push it back a couple, once every 14 days, maybe, would be perfect for us. That'll give you enough time to bale the hay, and you'd be all set also, correct?
Yeah, well, controlled environment agriculture is on the rise. We're talking about greenhouses and high tunnels. But we don't want to grow everything in a greenhouse, and so especially Christmas trees.
Speaking of greenhouse, TJ had high tunnel tomatoes, which is kind of cool. They're Jersey tomatoes. They were just grown in high tunnel.
Yep.
So that is a reality. I mean, it's not going to be for everything. But I planted a number of kind of cool things this spring. My tricolor beech is one. And I was watering that deeply every third day. So this has given me a break on having to do that. But I started to work in the woods. So Jack, you have any suggestions for me for cool things in the woods? I've got some rhododendrons that I put in there, and I put in and I want to get more of these, some ligularia, because that's blooms in the fall. And it's, you have any good suggestions? I want some weird stuff in the woods.
Bear?
No.
Bear.
No, not a bear.
I don't have bears. I do have a fox. I do have a fox that lives in the woods. And as a result of having the fox that lives in my woods, my dogs are on a special anti-mange medication. Do you know foxes will give dogs mange?
Yeah.
So I do have a fox.
How about Laurel? How about Laurel? Not Mount Laurel, but not Skip Laurel, but Laurel like that. That's a native.
That would be good. Yeah, I have actually. That gets a little taller. That would be good. I have a spot for that. That's a good idea. I hadn't even thought of that one. So yeah, I'm working on. We cleared an area out of brush, and I want it to be still woodsy and kind of wild. But I want different areas to look a little more groomed. I want to put a hammock out there in the woods, because you go out there, the temperature in the woods. I mean, this is part of the whole world needs to be aware of this. You walk into the woods from my backyard, and the temperature drops 15 degrees on a hot day in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, Peg. We even on the fringes, as Rake well knows, of my property on both sides of me, there's a large white pines, and their branches grow over my property, maybe 20 feet. And if you're mowing in the middle of the summer, you crave to get in that shade because it is at least 15 degrees cooler.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
So I'm trying to create some spaces in the woods that are nice to hang out in, and because there's so many brambles and things that are growing, but also the wildness hides the big ugly building.
Well, we've talked about this. Well, you and I have in the past about moss, right? Moss in the woods, different types of mosses.
Yeah,
we might be a nice touch. In shaded area, whether you have woods in your backyard or just a shady part of your property.
Yeah, mosses are fun. And there's many different kinds, too, that you can... And they do transplant. They do transplant nicely. You don't want mosses growing on your bricks, though, just as
no.
a reminder.
No,
just,
but when properly done in landscaping, it's really cool, and it stays that way year-round, right? In the winter, it still stays green.
Some stay greener than others. Yeah. Right. Do you ever use moss, Jack?
We used to. It was just got cost prohibitive to buy and transplant and install. But moss is also good for Rike.
No, what?
Pickleball courts.
No.
Yeah, he's kidding.
Yeah. Do you play pickleball or something?
Yes, I do.
You play pickleball?
Yeah.
He's the champion of Middlebush.
Really?
I've been playing pickleball now for almost 24 hours. I played yesterday for the first time.
Oh, you played yesterday for the first time? Oh, okay. Did you have fun?
Yes, I had a blast.
You know, it's creating all kinds of neighborhood issues. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, well, it's a big problem in Ocean Grove. It's a bit, and I did some research on it because, you know, I did pickleball when I was at my other station. We had the Garden Show Sports Minute to try to accommodate the fact that the station was going all sports.
Right.
And one of the sports that we covered was
pickleball.
Yes. And if you look into it, what the paddle that you use is like a giant ping pong.
It's like a racquetball racket.
But it's wooden.
Yeah.
And it makes a noise.
Not much, but
because it goes. I guess like there's a enough thwack. Of it.
Yeah.
It's a thwack noise.
Okay, and people are complaining about that.
If it's right next to your house, apparently it's affecting property values. If you have a pickleball court in your neighborhood, it affects your property values.
Down.
Down. Yes, down.
Huh.
Yes, people don't want to live near people playing pickleball at 6 o'clock in the morning before it gets hot, and waking you up when you're on vacation in Ocean Grove.
Huh. All right. Well, where I play pickleball, that's not a problem. So.
Okay. I just thought I'd get it out there. So, Jack, I'm glad you called because I just would like you to make your recommendations for what people should be doing with their lawns right now. Because I know there's do's and then there's don'ts. And you have very strong feelings about this. So I would appreciate if you would share your experience and expertise.
What I would just say is try to maintain the lawn. Don't cut too much off it. Keep it at a nice higher height, probably 2.5 to 3 inches. Don't bag it or don't mow it and then drop all the grass on it. If you mow it more often, it's easier. You don't have to bag it. The tops of the grass are full of nitrogen, so you don't have to fertilize as much. And I promised you a month ago when I spoke to you, I'd never mention again, but stop seeding. Stop wasting money.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Stop feeding? Is that what
seeding,
you said?
Seeding. Don't seed. Yeah, people that seed in the spring, they think they're doing a good thing, and they're not.
No. It's the best time to plant the end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they call it Labor Day weekend.
No, it's not. You're making stuff up now,
Peg. It could be. That's the weekend to get the job done.
No, we've got
to
tune into the history show and find out what that one is. Let's stick to the subject.
The actual date is August 20th through October.
Okay. And Labor Day weekend falls right in there.
Okay.
Okay, and it gives you an extra day to get the job done because it's very hard to do.
We're all at the beach. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the beach... Okay, this has got nothing to do with the garden show. I'm just going to get it out there, okay? Tommy's band is playing at the Ocean View in Seaside Friday night for Cinco de Mayo. So I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to be there. Jack had said he might want to go, but it's Friday night. It starts at 8 o'clock.
It's almost my bedtime.
Well, it's definitely not farmer friendly, I agree, but he is going to be playing, and Jack had asked me to tell him the next time he was playing. So here he is. It's Friday night. I'm getting it out there.
Okay.
Perfect.
You guys have a good time.
All right. Sounds good. All right, Jack, anything else you want to add to this?
Nope. Thank you. Having a great show. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for calling. See you soon.
Goodbye.
Okay. So
we were talking about moss before Jack jumped in there with pickleball. But mosses can be really – a lot of time homeowners, and I'm going to lump everybody in, spends time getting rid of moss. But when you see it grown in landscaping
– oh, it's beautiful.
And it's calming. There's something about moss. You know, it's in the shade. It's someplace usually quiet in the woods or where I've seen it grown. And it just kind of – makes you feel good. Doesn't blow around, doesn't take a lot of maintenance. I don't think it takes a lot of maintenance.
Well, you don't have to mow it.
It's just something about a lot of moss in one spot look cool.
And there's a couple of interesting things. Where moss grows, grass does not. A lot of people try to force the grass to grow. They get rid of the moss and they try to force the grass to grow. But if it's an environment that's conducive to growing moss, it means it's not conducive to growing
shady
grass.
And wet.
So if nature is telling you that the moss is going to do well here, trying to force grass is an uphill, totally fruitless battle, because it's not enough sun for any grass to survive if moss is doing well. So take advantage of that and let the moss grow.
It's almost like rock gardens are in landscaping. Take almost, once you set them up, there's no maintenance, I guess.
Almost, yeah. Very low.
Moss is similar.
Yes, moss is similar. But I also love the story about moss on the north side of the trees. That when the Underground Railroad was saving people and people were escaping, it made sense to travel at night because it were less easy to be spotted.
Right.
And if they were running in the woods, it's very hard to follow the stars because the canopy of the trees would block the stars. So a lot of people would travel, you know, using the North Star. But if you're in a forest, you can't see the tree. You can't see the stars.
So you feel the trees.
You feel the trees because the moss always grows on the north side of the trees. So you can always feel for where the moss is growing in order to feel what direction to travel. And so moss gets a couple extra gold stars for helping those people. Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool, right? Okay, so we have another 6 minutes. I should give the phone number, 908-448-0951. And that's just 6 minutes to the break. We'll be here till noon to answer your questions. But if you want to call us, that number again is 908-448-0951. I have something that I want to share, something I'm a little excited about.
Shoot.
Do you remember over the years me talking about my tricolor hedge, that I always wanted to plant a tricolor hedge?
Probably, but remind me. Go ahead.
Okay, well, when I got to Tiny Farm.
You and I talked about a lot of stuff a lot of times, so.
It was over a few years.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So, well, tricolor this was something hedge. That I, you know, when people would ask me what kind of hedge to plant, I mean, I'm not a big fan of privet hedges. They're kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
I had suggested a tricolor hedge, and I did it.
Tricolor of what?
Well, that's the thing. First, you space them properly, and you do every third bush is a forsythia.
Okay.
And then next to the forsythia, next to every forsythia, is a Van Houtii spirea.
Okay, I know that one.
And then the last one is a red or pink, whatever you prefer, weigelia.
That one I don't know.
You would
know if I saw it.
You would know it if you saw it.
Okay.
And the red one is the most popular, I think. But I discovered on my property there's a beautiful pink one. We had cut down everything, and some things popped back up. And the pink weigelia was one. I ended up moving it, but the pink weigelia is beautiful. But I used red. So the benefit of this tricolor hedge is it blooms three times.
Yep, I follow the...
Right.
But you wouldn't shape it like a formal hedge.
Oh, no, never. I keep it pretty natural looking.
Yeah. So you don't have to do a whole lot of trimming.
No. I did go in and I took out some of the longer, older branches on the forsythia. This was the first year that I did that because it's been in about 4 or 5 years now. And so the forsythia is now getting some size, and the branches of all of them are beginning to touch. So it's beginning to get hedgy looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I did take out some of those branches on the forsythia, and I tried to take them way back at the base, as far back as I could reach, either a major V or back as close to the ground as I could get. And you want to leave a lot of the branches having that natural shape, because the beauty of them is the arching branches.
And they intertwine.
And yeah, and if once you start taking a hedge pruner to them, they get really ugly really fast. So I did a little shaping, but the Van Houtii spirea are just about to bloom. So it's about to bloom white. The forsythias are done, and that's a good time to prune them. You want to prune them right after they finish blooming. And then the spirea is about to bloom. And there are many other kinds of spirea, so let's not get confused. There's all the other spireas that bloom in the summer. There's a gazillion different kinds of them. They have golden ones and red ones and all those. But the Van Houtii blooms in the spring, and that's important. So, and then it tends, it's not like the forsythia is completely done and then the spirea blooms. That happens. But the spirea kind of has a tendency to overlap a little bit. The spirea is finishing as the weigelia is coming in, but the weigelia definitely finishes long after the spirea does. So,
and then they're all green the rest of the year?
Yeah.
When I mentioned formal hedges, you know, trimming them and keeping them look like it's at a Westminster Abbey or something like that. I hate that stuff.
Number one,
it's a lot of work.
It is.
And number two, you take for the most common one you see around here is forsythia.
Yes.
And people make them into meatballs, you know, these perfectly round bushes. And when they blossom yellow in the spring, it just doesn't look right.
Okay. So I was doing photo shoots. I was photographing all kinds of things. And I wanted to show people what not to do.
That was one of them.
And I was in front of this lady's house, and I was taking a picture of the ugliest forsythia bush I ever saw. It had three flowers in the center, and it was shaped like an ice cream cone. It was all naked. She was so excited. She thought I was taking a picture for a magazine of her house, and I was just like, no, I'm taking it. I didn't have the heart to tell her. This is the ugliest forsythia I have ever seen. All right, are we going to go to the phones? We're going to take a break. All right, so we've got Art from Milltown and Sue from Edison. Hang in there. We will be back right after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Okay, have you been to Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping? Have you been there?
Right? Yes, I have.
I love that place.
It's relatively easy to find. And they got great stuff, and Mike's a sweetheart of a guy.
He's so nice.
Nicer than me?
You're in a category all by yourself,
there
right?
There you go. Mike's a good guy.
He is a really good guy. And his sandwiches in the deli, all the ladies that work there, they're so much fun. I mean, they're really nice. It's like, you know, they say hi, we have a little chat, they make great sandwiches. And then so I go and I pick out all my plants, I order my food, I sit at a little table, I eat it. It's great because I go there after the show because I get off the air at 12 o'clock and you know what?
Lunchtime.
It's lunchtime. So I go over there. I've been there several times and each sandwich I've gotten from him has been better than the last. They've just been so, so, so good. But he also, I've gotten a couple of really weird, cool plants from him. Plus I got some basics. I got my early season herbs. My parsley, and got a couple other things. And then I found a variegated Siberian iris, a variegated one, not just a regular one. So I got that. And he has had some beautiful centaureas. Now, as far as I don't know that they have a common name, I just call them centaureas, but it's a perennial, and it has a fairly large, maybe 2.5-inch diameter, very feathery-looking flower. And the first one I got was all purple. And then I went back the next week, and they had one that was purple in the center and white on the edges. And so I put them together in the garden. They look really good. So there's always something different. It's always fun. Everybody's nice. Last time I was there, I met Mike's son, who was just charming, very, very nice. And if you don't go for any other reason, although the plant material is good and the service is good and the food is good, if you don't go for any other reason, you have to go and look at the passion vine. Because the passion vine is so outrageous, it's almost not believable. He grows a tropical passion vine. It must be either in the ground, in the greenhouse, or I never saw its origin. It creates an entire ceiling in one of the greenhouses, growing on wires, crisscrossing. The whole thing is a tropical passion vine, which, when it's in bloom, I haven't seen it in bloom, but it's just totally outrageous. It's like...
It's worth the trip.
It's worth the trip, which is at 200 Riva Avenue in Milltown. Their phone number is 732-821-7144. And they are a founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show. And they do landscaping too. You know, I don't know that we've ever even mentioned that, but if, you know...
The landscaping service, yeah.
They have a landscaping service. So you can go buy stuff and you can ask them to put it in. You can buy it and take it home. You can buy it fortify yourself with a good sandwich and then take it home. It's all good, right?
Oh, very good. Actually, you know, I'm reading the same spot that Peggy is, and mine says they one of their sandwiches is Sloppy Joe Hot Mess.
Yes.
Sounds great. I want to have one of Mike's Sloppy Joe Hot Mess sandwiches.
Okay, well, that sounds great, and maybe one day you and I run down there and we'll do that. All right. Deal. So we'll be back after this.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.
Thrive-In is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells. Thrive-In believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thriveand.com/amy-nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thriveand.com/amy-nichols, and that is spelled N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
W-O-L-D.
Now, back to more of the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister-Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to go right to the phones. We're going to say good morning to Art from Milltown. Hey, Art, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Peggy. It's Uncle Art and Anne Marie here. Just back from our pilgrimage. We missed you last weekend.
Well, I'm so glad you called because it was something I wanted to. Two things: a really good thing and a really bad thing. The really good thing. Well, should I do the bad thing first? When I was laid up for a couple of days and not, you know, doing much, I forgot to water the big giant white poinsettia.
Well, next year.
I'm sorry. It lasted a really, really long time, and it would have still been in there, but it just wasn't primary on my mind at that particular point in time, and it needed, you know, attention. She's a very fussy girl. She needed attention when she needed it. There was no going back, it's still alive, but it looks pathetic. So I'm very, very sorry.
Cut it back.
Cut her back, and she will get all green over the summer, and you'll decide in the fall if you want to give her house room, greenhouse room, or she gets the gate.
Well, I think that's a good idea, and I probably will do that, but I'll just keep her the way she is for a little while because I'll wait until after frost, and then I'll cut her back, and I'll put her outside, and she'll have a better shot. So yeah. I think that is the plan. So that's the bad news I had to share with you. And I was really upset about it, but circumstances being what they are, it just, you know, it just happens. So I'm sorry. But
no.
The good news is, remember all those Easter lilies you gave me last year?
Yes.
They're all coming up.
Oh, good for you.
I think there's like five of them that you gave me, and they're
nice.
All coming up. And I planted.
Oh, very nice.
I planted them by the fence in the Garden of Ancient Ruins, and they're coming up through the ground cover, which is myrtle, And so I thought, oh, gee, you know, they're not coming up. I don't see them. And then I went and looked close, and they were, like, hiding in the myrtle. But they look so healthy, very robust, and they're going to do really well. So one disaster for which I humbly apologize, and then the other one, which is really good. It's going to be beautiful.
Beautiful. Good for you.
Well, I called first, and then he had to jump in. But when we moved here from North Jersey, we had nothing in our backyard. So my dad brought me down. He went into the woods and dug out a white dogwood. And at this point, it's 25, 30 feet tall and is beautiful. And we also grabbed a bunch of mountain laurel.
You got that from where?
You got mountain laurel. Yeah, I would like to. I should get some mountain laurel. I should definitely get some mountain laurel.
You can go any public land. You could dig them out and put them in.
Well, I don't. I think I could go to jail for that. But
No.
He didn't do that. Someone brought it to him, but he was not the digger of it. And it was we didn't know it was coming. So I have to plead ignorance on that one.
Well, I can tell you that. That mountain laurels are great, and they are native to New Jersey, which is a big advantage. And one of the things that's really cool is you get your azaleas first, and azaleas are really a type of rhododendron, but then your classic rhododendrons come in after most of your azaleas, and then after that is when the mountain laurels bloom. So the use of a mix of those gives you a much extended period of bloom, and they're all shade tolerant. But the coolest thing is, hey, Reich, have you ever driven down 539 when the mountain laurels are in bloom?
All the time.
Isn't that awesome? They get really, in the woods, they get really kind of leggy and tall and stretched out.
They get interesting.
And they get sculptural. They get really sculptural. And they will bloom, and you can see them that when you're in the woods where you have a lot of mature trees, it doesn't block your view of the tree, because the tree trunks don't generally have a lot of leaves on them that low, and you can see them all kinds of trying to touch each other, kind of stretching and wrapping around the trunks of the trees. It's very, very cool. So mountain laurels, that's another really good suggestion. So everything good with you guys?
Yes. Still talking about your woods. What about some azaleas? Because over at Rutgers, their azalea garden, some of that are partially in trees.
Yeah, I need to get a few azaleas. Azaleas are great, but they're kind of standard. And I want some azaleas, but I really am thinking, you know, along the lines of, I don't want what everybody else has. You know that. So
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mea culpa.
No. I mean, I'm going to get some, of course.
Okay.
But I'm really looking for suggestions for weird things. And mountain laurels are definitely more weird than they're not as common. So mountain laurels are a really good suggestion. And I also like the idea that they're native. And I want to get the native kind as opposed to the ones that have been developed, and they're dwarf ones and red ones and blah, blah. I want to get the ones because they've got the best shot of really making it, the ones that are just like the native natural. So I probably need to go to one of those native plant nurseries, and they would probably have them. That's a good idea. That is a really good idea. Okay. All right. Now we're making some progress. Okay. Yeah.
I stopped and visited our friend Anna from Jamesburg, and I have a strawberry plant in a basket that came from your plant swap, which you didn't talk about plant swap today, that I heard. And she was so excited because she had asked me for, you know, a trailer, and I gave it to her, and she hangs it in she's like a breezeway. Well, the thing is lush leaves and blossoms all over the place.
Well, good for her. There you go.
Yeah. And so she's now put it outside, and it's happy enough. But she was working on some plants for the plant swap. And I am very busy potting up way too many of Miss Danny's begonia. So I hope people want a house plant because we've got lots of them. And I'm laughing because, you know, it took forever to bloom for me, and it has bloomed, but I don't think it likes my house except to grow. It doesn't grow to flower.
Mine is covered in flowers right now. Covered.
I know.
Yes,
I saw yours.
So the plant swap, I'm glad you reminded me, is May 27th. It's at noon to 4 o'clock. And it's the same. You can go to my website, peggygarden.com, and there's my last posting has a whole thing on it. We are asking people to do the same as they did last year, which is to bring a finger food. But we do ask that maybe we get not quite as many sweet things as we had last year, because really there was so many cookies and dessert kind of things that people were at the risk of going into sugar comas. So so a few other things would be good, you know, an assortment would be good. Cheese cubes and small little mini bunches of grapes and apple slices or bananas.
Those little hot dogs
in the little wrapper. Yeah.
Pigs in a blanket. I love those.
I hate calling them that, the poor little piggies. Yes, but that's them.
They're delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Well, just
one
saying.
One year, you know what I did one year was I made hot dogs and buns, and I just cut them in half, you know, so everybody could just pick up like half a hot dog. So it was, you could carry it around.
I like the little hot dogs and the pastry thing.
Okay. All right.
Well, then you're on to bring them.
Yeah, there you go. You can bring them, Rank. So yes, May 27th. I never put my address out on the air, but anybody who's interested in calling can call the number, which is 908-448-0951, and talk to Andy, and Andy will give them that information, but I don't like to just broadcast my address over the air. So if you're interested, you can also reach out via my website, peggygarden.com, PEGIgarden.com, and send me a note. And ask any questions. And it's not just plants, you know. It's plants, and it's pots, and it's tools, and it's seeds, and it's vases, and it's, you know, garden gnomes, and it's, you know, whatever anybody has that they're not using that maybe somebody else could use, old tomato cages, or, you know, anything that people have that might be, you know, usable in a garden. Bags of pine cones, those are useful, particularly useful for people who have cats. If you put them in the pots, then the cats don't dig around in the dirt. So pine cones are good. All kinds of things. Rick, you're making a face again.
Well, yeah, and the beauty of radio is that people can't see me.
Yeah, I have to look at that.
What's this pine cone thing you speak of?
Pine cones. It works really, really well when you have big plants in the house, right, and you have cats that go in the pots and dig, when even scratch.
So you put pine cones on top and
on the soil, you cover it with pine cones. They don't like to step on it.
Keeps the cats
out of the, using it as a litter box and out of it from standing there to scratch the plant.
The things you learn on the garden show. Oh my God. All right.
Well, Peggy, taking that idea, you know, the squirrels always like to take apart my planters on the front porch. So after I put some seeds in there, I just put all those pine cones on there, and that allows the plant to get up, and hopefully they don't pull it out just because they're being mean. But it was better last year than any other year for not having soil all over the place.
Well, there you go. So the pine cones are a good thing. So I do have some pine cones to share. My pine trees are actually big enough now that I'm getting my own pine cones, which is good. But yeah, so anything that people have that would be that might be useful would be good. Paint stirrers. If anybody has a whole bunch of paint stirrers, please bring them. He's making a face again.
You mean a stick?
No, I mean paint stirrer, not just a stick. Paint stirrers are the perfect size to be able to write what's on in the garden and mark the rows.
Oh.
It's the perfect size. You don't have to cut them. You don't have to mess with them. Write on them with a magic marker. And, you know, they're perfect. I use paint stirrers all the time. In fact, I'm very careful with my paint stirrers. I wash them so I can reuse them, so that I always have a supply. Okay? He's making faces. All right, Anne Marie, Uncle Art, we gotta go.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks for calling. Give each other a hug for me. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. Bye bye. We'll be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Okay, so I had this really bizarre experience this week, I received a gift of 2 pounds of pralines and other assorted candy things from Savannah, Georgia. And I had a little medical thing going on, and this was a gift from my sister, and it got delivered to the wrong place. I was really upset. And my sister said, oh, it was delivered at 11:30 this morning. And I said, no, it wasn't. And so we tracked it down. And it got delivered to the church down the road. Like, not at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down there. And I went over there. And you know what happened? I went up to the door. And out of the sky... You are being recorded.
A voice from on high?
I think it was. I think it was a voice from on high. And
at least above your head.
And I ran away. I was scared. It was just really creepy. I did find a phone number on the side of the truck, and I did call, and eventually I did retrieve my candies. But that surveillance system, and that they had it there and that they were protected, was really cool. And not all systems will speak to you like that, but even having cameras on the outside of your house will discourage people from coming up, because they know that they're going to get caught if they do something bad. And I don't really like bad people. Do you like bad people? I don't like bad people.
No,
I don't like bad people. But and we don't want to encourage them. We want to discourage them. So having any kind of a surveillance system is good protection for you and your home and your loved ones, and it's a good thing to have. And I'm not a real super technology-oriented person, but I think that this is one of the things that have evolved out of technology that is really useful and helpful and gives you a sense of security, and that you can... And also... I'm an owl person, and there are different kinds of systems that can also, you can stay in touch with what's going on at your house from any remote location. And we have a sponsor of the Garden Show that provides these kinds of services and can set you up. It's called Elite Surveillance, and they are the people to trust. And Andrew Allegro is the person that you want to talk to at Elite Surveillance, and they will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. And really, just having the cameras is so beneficial. So you can call them at 732-702-2434. Or you can visit, they have a website, and it's called EliteSurveillanceNJ.com, and you can learn more. And if you mention the All New Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation, which is another advantage. And they are, Elite Surveillance is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show, which is 95.1 WOLD. So we want to be able to support our sponsors so that the Garden Show can keep going. So if you are thinking about this and you think that you would like to increase your sense of security and safety in your home for yourself or your family or your dogs, then contact Elite Surveillance, and they will help you out.
Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Whether it's exterior or interior painting, power washing, bathroom remodeling, cleaning out the garage or attic, rest assured you've found the help you need. Do you have water or mold damage? Rest assured, these pros will assist you. In fact, if there's any home improvements you're thinking of, call the owner, Kelly, for a free estimate. The number, 732-781-8857. And find out more at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you receive a 10% discount on the services they provide. Ladies and gentlemen, without promotion, something terrible happened. Nothing. We need Peggy and Jordan on the air for another 34 years, and you can help us make that happen. It's simple. Tell the folks you know to listen in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon and get the word out that The Garden Show is looking for sponsors. Call 732-991-5140 to learn more.
W-O-L-D.
You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back. We're going to go right over to Edison and have a little chat with Sue. How you doing, Sue?
Hello, good morning. How are you, Peggy?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. What's up?
Okay, I want to ask you something. My irises are like growing wild. They're growing in the path of my new azaleas. And what do I have to do? Like dig them up? And how do I stop, like keep them in one area? Now they're like spreading. I don't know.
Okay, what kind of irises?
They're the blue, I don't know. They're the deep purple, the classic irises.
Okay.
With the yellow throat, yeah.
Okay, question is, though, are they the Siberian iris with the really thin leaves that are really tight together and they bloom early, or are they like the bearded iris?
Well, they're going to bloom now.
Right, but
so
do they have like...
I think they're the ones that come out first. How's that?
Okay, is the foliage like an inch to an inch and a half wide, or is it real narrow and grass-like?
I think it's about an inch to an inch and a half wide. They're
so,
not that narrow.
Okay. All right. So then it's your classic tuberous iris. Okay. They need to get, like, relocated every few years. Like, not every year, but they will spread. The way they grow is they grow from the outside, and they keep growing away from the center. So they will spread, and then the older tubers kind of age and no longer produce leaves or foliage. So they keep going out and then out and then out some more. So that's sort of the nature of the beast. They don't stay in the same spot. So
no, they're not.
Right. So what you need to do is dig them up and relocate them, and then you take basically the way the tubers grow. It's sort of like a Y shape where you have a white tuber and then it has two more tubers growing off of it. And then off of that is where the foliage comes up. So when you dig them up, you get rid of the oldest parts and save the Ys, each Y, which is at the outermost tip. Now, you don't want to do it right now because they're about to bloom. But you can do it immediately after they bloom. That's one option. You can do it 6 weeks after they bloom because the difference is in 6 weeks they'll have put out new tubers.
Uh-huh.
And so then you'll move the new ones. Or you can do it in September. The worst time of year to do it is in the spring because you disrupt their blooming cycle. So
right
immediately after they bloom, 6 weeks after they bloom, or September is your best shot.
Okay. And then the next question, when is the right time to put in a mountain laurel?
Oh, 12:30.
You can do whenever you want. Okay.
If you're buying it from in a container... Yes, you can do it.
I would be buying it new from one of the... I would like one of those. We had one years ago. I just wondered if I could... I want to put it in the ground.
Yes, absolutely. Now is a good time. But if you're buying a container-grown specimen, they can go in almost any time. You don't want to do it in the heat of summer, and you don't want to do it when the ground is frozen. But other than that, almost any time.
Okay, one more quick question.
My
rhododendron's about 35 years old. It just doesn't look that great. How long do those last?
Oh, they can last a lot longer. If it were me, I'd give it a pruning, take out some of the older growth, shape it up, and give it a shot of fertilizer, and you might be good for another 30 years.
Okay, thank you. When can I fertilize it? Right when I do that?
You could do it now or after it blooms.
Let it bloom first and then cut it back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much, Peggy. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Take care.
To you soon. All right. Bye-bye now. Reich, thank you so much for joining us. We had fun, even if you did tease me a little bit there. I think I got you back, though.
You're welcome, I think.
Sean, thanks for pushing my buttons. I will be here next week, same time, same place. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tune in to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells, Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.